You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Tuesday. 104.1 FM KMOX. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we do the Think Tank. Today, we have David Barklage and Chuck Summers. Dave is Politico extraordinaire. Chuck, why don't you reintroduce yourself to the people here?
Hi, my name's Chuck Summers. I'm a candidate for Congress in Missouri's 2nd Congressional District.
Very nice. Good to see you, as
Democrat.
Always.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start out big and work our way down to the city elections. Dave, you're one of the smarter guys I know. Every president since World War II has looked at the trade deficits and said, no, not on my watch. I'm not going to do the tariff thing. Donald Trump is now doing it. So to me, just mathematically, he's either smarter and braver than all these guys, or he's put his you-know-what in it. Where do you fall with this?
I think you're right on both counts that we don't know yet. And in other words, I mean, some of us, a long time ago, I quit predicting that. When I see a policy, is this because they really figured something out that no one else sees, or is this reactionary? Part of me believes that, you know, one, it does create a huge revenue stream for the federal government, which could make the way for tax cuts, which is in his agenda. Two, it will equalize, and a lot of these countries will have to equalize their trade policies. And I do like the idea that, you know, it's putting pressure on a lot of strategic industries to, and companies to relocate in this country and relocate a lot of assembly and a lot of remanufacturing and things like that. So it could turn out very well. But on the opposite side, you have people equally entrenched going to fight us. I think the China, it's a matter of chicken. This could collapse China, which could create, you know, China being more aggressive towards Taiwan, or it could break their back to where they become a much better player. I think that he is, either way you go, he is being extremely bold. And it's either going to pay off or it's not. But I would argue that he's willing to sign his name and to own the agenda either way.
So, Chuck, being a labor guy, do you have conflicted feelings about this?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a self-inflicted disaster. That's a transfer of wealth from working class people to the rich. All that money that was washed out of my 401k has been washed into the bank accounts of the top 1%. I think our founding fathers had a vision of our government with three co-equal branches of government to keep things like this from happening. I think the Republican and legislators have abdicated their responsibility to the executive, and both of those are attacking the judicial, and they're hanging on by just a thread. So yeah, I think it's an overreach. I think the only people that can stop this is the Republicans in Congress.
I know with the Republicans in charge of all three branches that it's difficult for you guys, but there's not being able to do anything practical, and then there's just seeming feckless. And that's sort of the vibe that I get. You know, you had Cory Booker get up there and go for 25 hours, and that was impressive, and that was important for about 15 minutes, and now no one remembers it. What do you think that you guys can do to push back?
So I'll tell you, Dave, Thursday night I was at a town hall rally put on by BHRD. It's an Absent and Wagner town hall rally. It was packed. And there was people there that were frustrated. They were angry. They're worried about what's happening with our government. Saturday, I was at a hands-off rally. We stood in the rain, 30 degrees, pouring down rain. Thousands of people stood in the rain protesting. The country is turning out because they do not like this. They do not want this. They want the Republicans to do something about it, and they're being heard.
Do some of your union brothers and sisters disagree with you, do you think?
So it's funny you say that, because I actually quit 2 years to run in 24, and I did that so I could field test my campaign out on the job. And I had a lot of conversations with construction workers out on the job, and what I found was a lot of lies and misinformation. They had a lot of things that they believed were true that were just not true. And when I actually had a chance to sit down and have those conversations, I won a lot of support, and I have a lot of people on my side. So
yeah.
I think it's just a matter of getting the message out and getting the facts out.
Do you think, Dave, because as you know, I'm not a Donald Trump fan. I think he's making a mistake with this. I'm watching my 401k disappear, but I will give him credit. The man is bold, and sometimes those are the kind of people who go down in history. Andrew Jackson was bold in a similar kind of way.
Look, and by the way, I want to compliment you. So few people actually step into the ring and are willing to put aside their life and to put themselves out there. So thank you for you for taking on the race. I'll say this is I think and you know, you have to take opposition with it. I mean, that's the nature of politics. But I think time is going to tell. And to that extent, I would rather have someone decisive that time will tell whether they're right or wrong. And I know that sounds dangerous, but we're at a time where I think we do need, both parties would agree, and people from both, that regulation, that our economy, that debt, all these things. And one, you know, depending on how you look at it, like it, are crisis points that have to be resolved. Now, we're not going to agree necessarily with how to resolve it until we actually see results. And to that extent, again, I think that and Dave, you know that I have not been a supporter of Donald Trump in his first term. But I have to say that his action, him being so dramatic, so direct, is a relief, because we'll know, was it right, was it wrong, and he'll be held accountable for it. And he should get not only the blame, but he should also get the credit if it works.
Kev, we haven't talked that much about it on or off the air. Where do you fall on this?
I think we've gone too far down the road of giving one person too much ability to do anything he wants. It doesn't matter. Like, if these things are going to work, that should be decided upon by the people that are running Congress. Again, why is one guy have? We're not built to be a country where one guy has the control to say, we're going to do this, 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 and then the courts can come after me if they want to. That's not how it's meant to be. We're supposed to be a collaborative. We're supposed to be three equal branches that check each other. And for probably 30 years, we've been giving the executive too much power.
You know, I want to tell you how much I agree with that, because there used to be that balance. And I think that balance, say, now we're seeing one reaction faced by an overreaction, faced by another overreaction, where the American people are more wanting that center, you know, kind of governance. But I tell you where it's coming from is not where you would expect. Back when Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan were in power, they actually could make a deal. And the Chamber of Commerce or AARP or these other groups were incidental. They were important, but they didn't shape it. Now you take a Schumer or a Thune or those guys, and they try to make a deal, a bipartisan deal. It gets torn to shreds by these permanent special interests. And those interests have become so strong, they have kept Congress from being able to be that sort of unified force.
Well, those interests only exist because the people give in to the pressure.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you're a senator, you should be saying, no, I'm a senator.
I agree.
And if you want to put somebody up against me, go ahead. But we're not doing the wrong thing because you got money.
A lack of Congress being able to be that center of debate and
being
negotiation.
Being willing, I would argue. Yeah, they're able. They just aren't willing.
I think that's fair. But I think that has shifted the power into the presidency, because Congress has become unable to find compromise.
I was about to ask, and you just answered the question before I asked it, but what I was forming in my mind is, out of the three co-equal branches, why in 2025 was it the executive that pulled ahead? Why aren't we talking about, boy, we need a stronger executive because Congress is just too strong? But that makes sense.
And both parties are afraid of giving the judiciary to one side or the other. I mean, the Democrats had it, and then when it comes to the Republicans, they're like, oh, we want to pull this back. So I think there's fear of both parties of getting into judiciary. Congress is it's going to be very hard, but I agree. Hopefully if you're in Congress, that you'll have that, you'll take your willingness to make those things happen. But I think it's fallen on the presidency, and the presidency.
And the problem with this, though, is that whoever the next president is could just write it all off by the stroke of a pen. Yeah. It's gone. Now we're doing it another way.
Yeah.
That's not how things work well. That's chaos.
Rach, as a millennial, how does it hit you?
You just mean the tariffs, like this whole situation?
The tariffs, and even more so what we're talking about with the executive taking over so much power from Congress and from the judiciary.
I'm troubled by that. I'm also troubled by the... Look, I don't know if he's doing anything illegal, but just the fact that we're waiting for a tweet or a Truth Social post to come out, and that's going to swing the way things are going financially for so many people. That is incredibly troubling to me.
But you know what's driven that, though, is, again, that the press used to have a credibility, and they have lost their credibility. Right or wrong, they have.
All true.
And Trump has embodied a cabinet that all has their followers, Elon Musk, all these different people, whether you like them or not, they have this huge social network following. And as a result, that's the new medium. And you're right. When a tweet, when those comments can happen, there's now no more filter of a press and editors and layers trying to find a balance. It's now social media, one fight versus other, which makes it more reactive.
Right, but that's all about control. That's not about doing it better or getting it right. They control the message that way. So they just say what they want. There's nobody there to say, hey, I got a question for you because the facts say this is not real. But what we've done, and don't get me wrong, I think we our industry has played a role in diminishing its own reputation because we've been chasing ratings rather than chasing real news for the last 30 years.
Well said.
So we have done our part. But there are no grown-ups in the room saying, yeah, I know that's how it can be, and I know I can do what I want, but I'm not going to because we're not supposed to. There's no regulation of that. There's no, because I'm a grown-up. In my house, I can do whatever I want. I could feed my kids cake for dinner all day, every day. I could. It would be easy because my kids are going to eat it. They're not going to give me a hard time. It's not good. It's a bad idea.
Why aren't you running for office?
Because, well, first of all, I couldn't. There's no way because all I do is fight with everybody all day. But, like, it's not that hard to have a filter that says this is what we're supposed to do, what we should do, not just, well, I can, so I'm going to.
Here's my card. Let's talk after the deal. So I can get you.
And I think this all started with the influx of dark money into our politics. Money has taken root in our government. It's spread to the judiciary, to the media. They control the narrative. They control the messaging. And unfettered money is just flowing through our politics. And I don't think we get our system back to the people until we get the money out of politics.
I think that's a good point. And I will tell you, I'll take it even further. I have never seen more change in my business in this last 2 years and then the last 50 years. And every element of society, we're starting to see this giant shift. Dark money, what that's done, social media replacing the main media, permanent interest becoming so powerful that Congress unable, shifting of power. We're seeing this in everything. And in my business, there was a fundamental deal that you dominate the dominant medium. There's no longer a dominant medium. And that's like the fundamental philosophy of my business. And it's the same everywhere. And so finding our way through dark money, through a weakened media and a more powerful social media that is sensitive to opinion, rather than fact, all those things we're all having to deal with and no wonder where it's going to end up.
Yeah. Well, you want to know where a lot of it started was deregulation. We deregulated cross ownership of media outlets. Mm-hmm. So there used to be rules about how many outlets a company could own. Could you own newspapers and TV? We got rid of all of that. And what that leads to is bigger and bigger companies buying up more and more and the bottom line being more important than gathering and spreading of news. So once you start that, it's over.
Well,
it's over.
This last cycle or the last couple of cycles, you can put an ad on that says anything and they can't get it pulled.
No.
In the old days,
there
were strong rules. Yep. And if you couldn't prove it, they pulled it right away.
Yep.
Now you can, if you've got the check, they will let you put any lie on anything you want about anybody.
Dave, when was the last time in your business that things felt normal and predictable?
Maybe 8 to 12 years ago.
Okay.
All right.
But it is less predictable today than it was a year ago at the election and less predictable before that. I mean, more predictable than before that. It is a descent. Now, maybe it will equalize out in 26, but I've never seen this is a political shift. It's a value shift. It's an institutional shift. It's all these things happening at one time. And best you can do is sort of ride the current and paddle and just try to figure out where it's going.
So what we're not talking about, we're talking about the executive branch, we're talking about the legislative, we're talking about the judicial, we're not talking about the people.
No.
You know, it's you're seeing it now.
Yes.
Whether it's George Floyd or it's the Tea Party or it's hands off, but we've got to get off our couch.
Absolutely. We are a constitutional republic, but we're also a representative democracy that does not work unless the people participate. We had 80 million people sit at home in the most consequential election in our history. More people sat at home that voted for the Democrat or the Republican. And that's just wrong.
Maybe it's time to have the member of the old movie, The Network.
Sure.
Where mad he as hell. Yells out mad as hell. Maybe it's time that they redo that because I would say it's more relative today. And I think that's very intuitive, Dave, that I believe that the American people, 80% of them are here,
mm-hmm.
and that the 10% on either side are the ones that populate the media, mm-hmm. the institutions, the debate, and that the 80% in the middle are about to turn it off. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do they reset it? When do they turn it on? And how do they react to what's there when they finally figured out, you know, who the enemy
That's
is?
That's the number I always use. I say 80% of us are between the 40-yard lines.
Yep.
So why are the people outside the 40-yard line so damn powerful?
They're getting energized now, though, Dave. Like I said, those two events that I just went to, I mean, they were packed halls, and they were standing room only. Like I said, thousands of people standing out for that hands-off protest, you know, in the cold and the rain. People are coming out. They're getting engaged, and they're showing up. So
you went to an Ann Wagner event? Did you stand in the corner with your sunglasses on and your arms crossed?
No, actually, Ann Wagner wasn't there. Just a cardboard cutout of her was, because she has never been to a town hall. She will not hold debates. She won't come to the town halls. She will not talk to her people, something I will do if I get elected. But, yeah, there was just a cardboard cutout of her there, and the people got to get up and speak there.
As much as you see the energy growing, that event is symbolic of the problem, the fact that you don't have a congressman there engaging with people.
Correct.
That either she doesn't feel safe or comfortable, or she just chooses not to. And I'm not, because I don't want to get into your race, but my point is that, again, that's one more symptom that politics is off when we're not having that constructive dialogue directly with our elected officials.
Yeah, that's part of democracy. Yeah that interchange between the constituents and the candidate.
Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Quick little segment here. Went long with the boys on the Think Tank. Well, the turd baby thing is taking off.
Yeah, let's go.
So we were talking kiddingly about making them available for the holiday time and giving the money to Operation Food Search. And someone said, how about a turd baby meme coin? So now Rach is going to end up being a billionaire.
Let's go.
I'm going to scam everybody like a Hawk to a girl.
Yeah.
Rachel's going to be a billionaire and we're going to lose it all.
We're going to lose everything.
Three of us are going to lose everything.
Rachel will be known as the turd baby girl.
We'll all be living in the same apartment.
Yeah, we're all going to be living in the same studio apartment, and she's going to have a mansion.
Turd baby.
TBG.
People are getting turd baby tattoos.
You ruined my life with your turd baby meme coin.
Lost it all.
I'm
the
sorry,
turd.
Y'all. I'm going to bed.
First of all, if
lost
if
it all on the turd baby rug pull.
If you're buying anything that has meme at the beginning, probably don't.
Yeah.
Or turd
unless
baby.
Unless it's turd baby, then you're good.
Yeah.
Unless it's all that Dogecoin I bought in 2021, in which case I really need that to do well.
Are you referring to your or my 15,000 Dogecoins that are currently worth?
Andrew and I got a little caught up in that.
Less than a fraction of a penny.
Yeah. When Musk was going to do SNL.
Yeah, and then he went on SNL and he said it was like a joke or
yeah,
a
he
hoax
was like,
or something.
He was like
oh,
no one should do this because it's stupid and a waste of time.
It's
and
almost
then,
like you can't rely on him.
And then, it went from one penny to a tiny fraction of a penny.
Oh, well, you know,
I still
it's
have it, though.
Things are legit too. When one sentence from one person can tank the whole thing.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, would the dollar tank if Trump was like, the dollar sucks, don't buy the dollar?
I mean, it would probably go down, but it's not going to go down like that. I mean, honest to God, like whether it's the Fed or senators or presidents, sometimes what they say crushes the market
Trump
for a day
like,
or two.
Trump would be like, I have something new. It's called the turd baby.
We need to recruit him.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.